Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. So, as I hope you know the story by now, in 1858, starting on this day, a lady in white began to appear to a young girl by the name of Bernadette. And what I want to do right now, for this one moment, is ignore that completely. And talk about what was going on in Italy at the exact same time that Mary was appearing in France. Because in Italy, as Mary was appearing in France, there was a lot of turmoil and strife. And as Mary was appearing to a young teenage girl, there was an older teenage guy who was falling into all kinds of bad stuff. Let's call him Bart for now. And Bart was studying to be a lawyer, and he was involved in politics. He was involved in resisting the church's power in Italy, and got into practicing the occult, doing things with like psychics and ghosts and things like that. Actually converted to Satanism and even got ordained as a Satanist priest. And shortly after that, Bart started noticing bad things happening, because you know, if you play with plutonium, you might get sick, just as a notice there. And he started noticing things going on in his house. He found that he was always stressed out, strung out, that he was profoundly depressed, that he had his nervous system was misfiring and everything, and he was in this deep darkness. And he tells this to a friend, and the friend tells him, or rather drags him, to go speak to a Dominican priest. And the Dominican priest tells Bart to start praying the rosary. And so Bart starts praying the rosary. And things got worse. He got more depressed, he got more. But the reality was that something was slightly different within. However bad his life and his emotions got, there was something that was growing within. And one day he decided to terminate his life, and he was walking out in the Italian countryside, and he heard the bells for the Angelus that we pray at 6, noon and 6. And he heard the bells as the sun was setting. And he screamed to God, and he screamed to Our Lady, that if they were real, if they existed, to stop him. And he himself said he felt nothing. He just, the depression and everything got worse. And yet, his hand was stayed all night long. And the next morning, finally, he broke through and found peace. And he went back to the priest and he started talking about this, and eventually got back into the practice of his faith, went to confession, went to communion, actually got made a Third Order Dominican, which is a lay person who associates himself with Dominican order and Dominican spirituality. And he had a particular love, as you might imagine at this point, for the rosary. And so far from being a Satanist priest, he actually started going to Satanist meetings with the rosary, to pray the rosary to break the power of evil over those who were there. And he went about southern Italy preaching the rosary, sharing the rosary, just as a lay guy, saying, you need to pray the rosary. He was so hurt that so many people had fallen away from Catholicism into the occult in Italy. And I think there had been a recent eruption of Mount Vesuvius, and he goes up above Naples to Mount Vesuvius, and he plants an image of Our Lady of the Rosary right in the volcano dome. And then he comes down and starts to build a little shrine to Our Lady of the Rosary, which becomes enormous. He even gets married, but it's a chaste marriage. They don't consummate it, and they work together as partners to promote the rosary. And he dies, and now we call him Saint Bartolo Longo, right? And the reason I find that so striking is that exactly when Our Lady was appearing in France to give a broken world hope, to open up the waters of healing, to show little Bernadette and all the people in France that heaven still loved them, Bartolo was suffering. And yet it's the same woman, the same prayers, the same power. Not only did she bring us water to heal us from sniffly colds, she implores grace to transform a soul even as far gone as Bartolo Longo. Because I gotta tell you, the path from Satanist priest to Catholic saint is not a short one. And that's what we hear in the gospel today, that through the intercession of Our Lady, through Mary coming to Jesus and just presenting people's needs to Jesus, even water can become wine. Sickness can become health. Sin and a sinful soul can be transformed to holiness. But I want to really focus on the rosary. Because when I was a child, so like yesterday, that whenever I was a child, I didn't know anything, right? And I would see images of Our Lady of Lourdes, and I know you can't possibly imagine me doing this, but I was a little snarky and a little mocking, like I know it's impossible to picture me doing that. But I always noticed that she had a rosary, and I'm like, what is she doing? What is she doing with the rosary? Saying, "Hail me, full of grace." I don't understand. What is she doing with a rosary? I didn't know at the time that when she appeared in Lourdes, she said nothing. It was Bernadette who was praying the rosary, and Mary was just fingering the beads until she got to the Our Father. But she still had a rosary in her hand. And as we think about the power of the waters of Lourdes, as we think about the power of the apparitions, as we think about this holy pilgrimage site where 10 million people every year go, as we think about all these things, I think we can forget that one of the clear meanings of the apparition of Mary at Lourdes was to encourage us to pray the rosary. To pray the rosary. And if you ever met Saint Bartolo Longo, he's going to tell you how important the rosary is. We've been going through the different spiritualities in the church, and I've also been talking about how each one has a concrete devotion that they give to us. The Jesuits gave us the retreats, Carmelite silent prayer, Benedictine's Lectio Divina. And today we come to what is perhaps the most intriguing conjunction in the history of the church, which is between the Dominican order and the rosary. Why is this an intriguing conjunction? Because normally, if you ask Hollywood or a novelist or a musician to think about what does a simple Catholic look like, guess what they're always going to point to? The rosary. And yet, it's the Dominicans who are the highest caliber minds in the church. They're the ones who produce St. Albert the Great, St. Thomas Aquinas. I went to a school that was run by the Dominicans. I learned the guys who were studying there. It blew my mind. A lot of these guys had like doctorates from Harvard and from Yale and from Stanford and from MIT before they got their vocation. These are the most brilliant men in the church. Just as a side note, I was studying with some younger guys. And I asked them what they did for fun, and their downtime. And they're like, well, one studied Chaldean and another was translating Virgil from the original Latin. And they asked what I did for fun. And I said, I watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So we were not exactly on the same page there. Okay. Brilliant men. Simple prayer. In fact, I have a friend in the Dominican order. We know each other through social media, but we, you know, chat back and forth a lot. He's a Dominican priest, and he has the coolest job in the world, I think. He is the Procurator General of the Holy Rosary for the Dominican order, which means it's his job, which is a cool job, to literally travel around the world preaching the rosary. Like every week he's in a different nation preaching the rosary. How can we have this conjunction of such a simple prayer with such an elevated order? And I think that there are a couple of ways this works. The first is that the Dominicans, however intelligent they are, have one root thing, and that is to promote the faith. And if you look at the rosary, if you pray the rosary the way it's meant to be prayed, It's just our faith. And taking time to think about it. 20 mysteries that show us the life of Christ and Mary, and then what it means, and taking time to think about it. I know how powerful this is, because when I talk about things that happen in the Bible and stuff, a lot of times people are like, huh? But if it's one of the 20 mysteries of the rosary, they're like, oh, I know that. Yeah, I've heard about that, right? And how important that is, that we have those 20 mysteries to really center us again and again. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be a genius. But you do have to believe. And you have to think about what that belief means. The second thing that I think joins them is that the Dominicans were founded as a preaching order. They're actually called the Order of Preacher Friars. They were founded by St. Dominic in 1218. And St. Dominic had this realization. I'm not going into his whole life, but it was a powerful realization. He looked at the world at his time, and he saw that many people were engaged in just caring about money, that heresy and lie about Christ were spreading throughout the world, and nobody was doing anything to stop them, and that nobody believed the church anymore because the clergy were corrupt. I know it's impossible for you to imagine a situation like that. So what he did was he started a group of friars, of brothers. He said, you're going to live exactly like the apostles. Poor. Mobile. They walked barefoot all over Europe. And preaching. This may strike you as odd, but until 500 years ago, there weren't even sermons at Mass, much less catechism classes. Nobody was preaching the faith. And the Dominicans went out to proclaim the good news, and people were shocked. They were shocked. I'd never heard this before. They'd just gone to Mass. They had no idea what it meant. They preached the good news. And I think about the role of Our Lady. Last weekend we talked about the Benedictines, who had this idea of letting the Word live within you, right? Lectio Divina, letting the Word live within you. And I always imagine that Mary is close to the Benedictines in the Annunciation, right? She receives the Word of God. He dwells in her womb. And we hear that she spends time in prayer. She contemplates that Word in her heart. But then on Christmas Day, she gives birth to the Word. Right? She brings the Word out into the world. And she spends time in her life on earth pointing to the Word. She proclaims the Word, who is Jesus Christ. And that's what the Dominicans do. They go out and proclaim the Word. They preach the Word. And one of the things that I laugh about is that, you know, in Mary's life on earth, right, she wasn't one of Jesus's followers. She didn't follow him around. She obviously believed in him. And she wasn't an apostle or anything. She wasn't given a mission. And yet, now that they're all in heaven, look at me. How many apostles do you know that appear anywhere? Like a couple. Mary, the woman who stayed home, she's got more frequent flyer miles than a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. She's appearing all over the place. She appeared in Wisconsin. She appeared in Wisconsin, y'all. You need to know how desperate she is for everybody to hear the Word. She's appearing all over the place. You go to older Christian countries and they're like, yeah, she appeared over there, she appeared here, she appeared 5 feet over there. Like, she's just appearing all over the place for 2,000 years to proclaim the Word, to point people to her Son, to call us to repentance. And that part of the Dominican charism is something we all need to focus on more, the sharing of our faith, the proclamation of Jesus Christ to a world that so badly needs to hear about him. But then that last part, which does bring about saints like Albert the Great, patron saint of scientists, and Thomas Aquinas, the greatest theologian the church has produced, is that that word is truth. It's not a collection of opinions. It's not a set of customs of how we grew up. It's truth. true. So Facebook shows me videos of cats. I can't imagine why. And lately it's been showing me videos of big cats, and I was like watching, I was like, so amazing. There's like cheetahs that'll walk up to a photographer and just start nuzzling the photographer and lay on the photographer. And then there's like these safari trucks and a lion will come up and nuzzle the people. Do they do that? No. It's AI. And I, who've worked extensively with AI, didn't recognize it. Truth becomes cheaper every day in our world. For 25 years, as I've worked in the church, I've like screamed, tried, begged, shook people to understand that truth is essential to our faith. It's not just about how we act, and it's not just about how we feel. It's about knowing the truth. And if you believe that truth is important, you're going to spend time studying it. You're going to spend time investigating it. You're going to spend time exploring it, like the great Dominican theologians do. But you're also going to fight for it. More even than Saint Michael the Archangel, there is one creature that Satan fears. And that is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And Jesus calls Satan the father of lies. And Jesus says that he is the truth. And therefore that makes Mary the mother of truth. In a world so dominated by the father of lies, we need to turn to the mother of truth. That she who by her prayers can heal bodies and heal souls can also heal minds in a world drowning in lies. And so this weekend, as we celebrate that Mary prays for us, that Mary watches over us, that Mary protects us, especially here in Erath, she doesn't care about Abbeville, that she loves us, right? We try to remember how important it is to think about, and when we can, pray the rosary. How important it is that we bring forth the word, that we share the faith with others. And how important it is that we reverence the truth. Because the father of lies will lead us to hell, and the mother of truth will lead us to salvation. God bless you all.